To order here. It is Monday, January 17th, 2017, Wednesday, 8 a.m. In attendance, myself, Senator Stevens, chairing. With us are Senator Giesel, Senator Coghill, Senator Begich, and online, I believe we have Senator Hughes. Is that correct? Do we have you online, Senator Hughes?
No.
No, but she will be on shortly. So we have a quorum to conduct business. I'd soon like to, before we start, thank our technical staff who hopefully will be here with us the entire session, helping us to facilitate and record things. Jeannie Foy and Senate, from Senate Records, Ben Manley from the LIO. Today we'll be hearing Senate Bill 131 relating to funding for the foundation formula. Well, the intention today is to hold the bill, have hearing, and hold the bill. Basically, what the bill does is to find a way to avoid pink-slipping teachers, and to a lot of ways to do that. This is one of them, and we'll begin that discussion on Senate Bill 131, Early Funding of Foundation Formula. And Committee Aide Tim Lampkin is with us. And Tim, if you'd make our initial presentation. The Department of Education is here as well, so we'll field questions from them, and we'll also take public testimony from school districts and other stakeholders. I do need to apologize that we only have an hour today, so we have to stop a few minutes before 9 so folks can make other meetings. So, Tim, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. I'll be brief. This bill is fairly straightforward. It has to do with early funding for the foundation formula as detailed in AS 1417. As you may already know, one of the challenges faced by many districts is the fact that they have to submit their budget to their local municipalities by May 1st annually, and that can be problematic when the state budgets aren't often passed by that time. So it's simply for purposes of allowing for better budget planning. The question may arise as to whether that funding will be enough on April 1st, but I suspect that many districts would feel that whatever the amount is, they would be appreciative knowing what that amount ended up being by that date. And as mentioned, this really at its core has to do with, as well, the pink slip issue. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to folks that we know are interested in this bill and allow them the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Any questions for Tim? Yes, Senator Begich.
Mr. Lampkin, just a very quick question. Has a bill like this been proposed before in the legislative process? And if so, what's been the progress of it?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, yes. In 2003, this was introduced by Senator Stevens. At that time, having read through the minutes fairly carefully, the biggest pushback was the thought that if the budget process was allowed to go further into the calendar year and deeper into session, that there would be more negotiating power by districts to secure additional funds. And that was contingent largely on the fact that we had a pretty healthy CBR at that time. However, now that we are facing a substantially diminished or reduced CBR, that argument may no longer be as potent.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. Tim has said that very diplomatically. We have introduced it in the past. There was a lot of opposition by districts at the time because they thought that the later they waited, the more funds they could get. I don't think that's the case, and I'm anxious to hear from districts to see if their minds have been changed. We have quite a several folks who will be testifying to us. Dave Jones from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District has been very involved in that. I don't think he's here, but I hope he's online. So let's go ahead and begin then with the Department of Education. If the department would come forward, please. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Good morning. For the record, Heidi Teschner, Director of Administrative Services with the Department of Education. So I'm here to answer any questions.
Okay. Can you just sort of tell us how you see this whole thing evolving and if it would be an advantage for your department or not?
Yes, Chair Stevens. The department is really supportive of any education funding that districts know about. This will help with their planning of their annual budget. Foundation is their primary operating fund money. So knowing that they'll have that, they can know not to have to issue pink slips. And know that they could be open start of the school year.
The timeline of what the districts face and having to send out things like that.
Yes, Chair Stevens, what I know about it, and I don't know if Marcy might know a little bit more.
Come on up, Marcy. We'd like to have you here and put you on the spot.
But I know that if they cannot, if funding is not secured in a timely manner, they face the ability, you know, having to potentially do a soft opening, and that with whatever funds they know that they're going to have, they can open. But Bean Foundation is their primary funding, and it's a $1.2 billion program. Districts really rely on that funding and want to know that it's available to them.
Thank you. And Marcy, could you chime in on that? I mean, on the timeline and what happens if they don't have a budget clearly at by a certain time, and what is that date?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Marcy Herman. I'm the legislative liaison for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. So I believe two or three sessions ago, the pink slip deadline was changed to May 15. And my understanding is, and my recollection, I'm not a spring chicken any longer, so please bear with me, is that the 90-day session ends mid to later April. If the budget wasn't passed till then, moving the day to May 15 would prevent the pink slip process for districts. I believe it was in March before that they had to notify non-tenured teachers of the potential that they would lose their job. So that was changed to accommodate the budget process in the 90-day session. The last couple of years, we've gone a little beyond that. Maybe a few special sessions, that kind of stuff. So I think it's put districts in a tough spot around delivering pink slips to their certificated staff.
Any questions to the department? Senator, go ahead.
I don't know that this is going to be for the department, but on timeline issues, the governor has a certain amount of time to bring amendments to his budget. So our budgeting process goes way into March. So that might give us 15 days to debate, basically. If I understand correctly, we probably have till the middle of March to get whatever modifications the governor has for his budget. So if we have to have this in by April 1st, that could create a flurry of questions, activities, things that the legislature would do that would include, I think, the Department of Education. So I don't know even the question to ask there, but that compresses the timeline significantly. So as I think about it, I'm going to try to ask good questions on what that might look like. So I don't have to get that now, but that's going to be one of the questions as we move forward.
Thank you. Senator Biggish?
Marcy, the question that Senator Coghill is referring to really gets to the fact, do you have the capacity in the department? Should there be such a flurry? I think this is where you're going with this, Senator Coghill. Would you have the capacity in the department to deal with that intense pressure of that 15-day period between the governor's last ability to propose those amendments and the requirement under the bill to produce for the governor this piece of legislation? That's, I think, gets to the heart of the question, and it goes to the capacity of the department.
And Mr. Chairman, that's part of the question, and I appreciate that. But there's 60 other people that have to be part of that equation too. So just
thank you. And just to clarify the issue of the date, it's April 1st in the bill. That can be changed. It's whatever we decide. That's a starting point.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Senator Biggish, I'm going to let Ms. Teschner respond to that.
Before you do, let me just announce that Senator Hughes is with us. Thank you, Senator Hughes. We're pleased to have you back, and thanks for being with us.
For the record, Heidi Teschner. Through the chair, Senator Biggish, I believe the department does have the capacity to do this because the counts come in the projections come in early November, and we're able to run reports. So pretty much what is projected for foundation for the following fiscal year is based on that projection, and as long as we have that information in a timely manner, that goes into the governor's budget, then we can make any adjustments.
Thank you for that. Yes, Senator Buesel.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. So I recognize that this bill deals with appropriations, but this is the Education Committee. So I'm going to bring the discussion back to a more foundational level, and that is, in terms of funding, what are we funding? And so I'm going to go a little more basic here. This summer, the commissioner put together the Education Challenge. It was a very effective exercise, I thought, as a participant, and numerous recommendations came out of that for transforming how we educate in the state. Now, this bill relates to when that funding is available, but I think it's equally critical that we address what exactly it is we're funding, because there are a significant number of Alaskans who feel that what we're funding needs transformation. They agree with the commissioner. So, Mr. Chairman, I would like to hear from the commissioner as we review this bill before we move it out, what exactly he's gleaned from the Education Challenge and how he plans to transform the product that we're asked to appropriate money for. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That's a very good point, and I assume that at some point we will have the commissioner here with us to talk about that issue.
Mr. Chair, Senator Giesel, so I've requested just formally last night that we hold a joint House and Senate Education Committee hearing. The State Board of Education will be here on January 29th, and they actually would like to talk to both committees and other legislators about how we're moving forward with Alaska's Education Challenge, the 13 recommendations that Senator Giesel is talking about, but more overarching are three commitments that that have come from the October meeting, and then beneath that are the 13 transformative recommendations. The commissioner will not be in town on Friday. He is going to be representing the governor's office at an ANSEP event in Anchorage, and I assumed that we would hear this bill again, but I could try to make him available next week. I don't want to hold your bill up, Senator Stevens, Mr. Chair, but he wouldn't be available on Friday.
Well, thank you, and we're not in a big rush.
Okay.
Need to look at this very carefully and answer all of the questions everyone has. I have talked with the chair of the House Education Committee, and we'll work very closely with her and her committee. And I think a joint meeting is quite appropriate, and so we'll plan on that. So maybe at that point we can hear from the board and from the commissioner, but we are planning to continue this discussion on Friday the 19th of January. So this is a kickoff, begin the discussion, begin finding out where people are on it and if it works or if it doesn't work. So we've got, as I said, plenty of time. Any further questions of the department?
All right, yeah.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I believe we also have maybe online, Tim, the Association of School Boards. Is that right? All right, they're going to be here to talk to us. So we have Norm Wooten, I believe. He's the executive director of the Association of Alaska School Boards, and he's in Anchorage. Norm, can you hear us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Thank you, Norm, for being with us. Appreciate any comments you may have on this bill and on issues that relate to education.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the Senate Education Committee for this opportunity. Again, for the record, my name is Norm Wooten, and I'm the Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. I'm calling in from Anchorage to express support for SB 131. AASB has several resolutions that support the elements of SB 131. One of the major concerns that every school district has is the ability to successfully recruit and retrain and retain teachers and administrators. And a challenge to that is the yearly drill of issuing layoff notices and so forth, as well as other contracts necessary to kick off the subsequent year, school year for schools all across Alaska. Districts obviously are not permitted to pass an unbalanced budget and so have no choice but to accept to balance their budget many times through layoffs of teachers and administrators. And we find that our folks are unwilling to continually go through this exercise each year, making it much more difficult to retain and even to recruit teachers and administrators for Alaska. This is just one element of this. Enactment of SB 131, we believe, would help to alleviate this situation by requiring that foundation formula budget to be in place by April 1st. I won't take up any more of your time, just to reiterate that the Association of Alaska School Boards and our membership are in favor of the passage of SB 131, and we appreciate sponsors' willingness to put this bill forward and the committee to debate the merits of this bill. Thank you for your time, and I'm available for any questions that you might have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. Any questions of Norm Wooten? Thank you, Norm. Always good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. We'll now go to I believe let's go to Dr. Parody, who is with us, Dr. Lisa Skills Parody, here in Juneau with ACSA. A lot of letters for 8 o'clock in the morning.
Indeed. Mr. Chairman, can I hand these to you?
Yes, please. We're informal, and that'd be fine. Thank you, Dr. Parody. Good to see you again.
Very nice to see you. Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Lisa Skiles Parody. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators. We represent Alaskan superintendents, elementary and secondary principals, school business officials, and other school administrators. And it is my pleasure to be here today, and I thank you for the time. I'm here to testify in support of SB 131. And I want to thank Senator Stevens for sponsoring this bill and you as members of the committee for hearing it. I note that the bill is very concise, but I note that it will potentially have a huge and very positive impact on school districts. In front of you are the 2018 joint position statements. And briefly, these are put together by members of each of the organizations that I represent. They have representatives on a committee that work all year, really, to develop position statements that all of those members review, edit, come to consensus around, and eventually the memberships of each of those vote on. So these are brought to you with consensus across Alaskan administrators. And you'll note that in the first paragraph, the first sentence, in fact, says the state of Alaska must provide timely, reliable, and predictable revenue for funds. This is a very, very important issue for our school districts, particularly my members who are trying to do contracts with employees. So as you've heard from those that have testified before me, the timing is particularly important. You heard from the department that state law requires school districts to notify tenure teachers of layoffs by May 15th and then non-tenure teachers by the last day of school. And why this is really a critical piece is, and again, I'll point you to our joint position statements, we're also very concerned about preparing, attracting, and retaining qualified educators. And you all know more than others the critical shortage of educators that we're experiencing in Alaska, like none before in the history of Alaska. So retaining our qualified educators is of the utmost importance. And when we can't issue contracts to them, they can go elsewhere, and they are. So we're having we're experiencing incredibly high turnover rates at every level, and this bill we see as positive support to be able to go ahead and issue those contracts and keep those qualified educators right here in Alaska. I'll close by again thanking you. We see the bill accomplishing two very straightforward tasks, separating education to its own appropriation bill and requiring it to be passed by April 1st. And this really does solve the issue of kind of yo-yoing our teachers and other educators back and forth, you know, as their contracts and the whole premature pink slips situation. So we see the bill fixing an inherent problem that we've experienced the last, I think, 3 years for sure. So I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you again for the time to testify, and we hope for a favorable outcome for this bill.
Thank you, Dr. Purdy. I appreciate your comments, and just a personal story. I happened to be president of the school board at home in the 80s when Sheffield, Governor Sheffield, had to cut the budget. The price of the world took a real downturn. Our budgets were cut in half. We had to pink slip a lot of teachers, and unfortunately, I know many who received a pink slip who found jobs elsewhere in other states, and that's part of the problem, it seems to me, that you just pink slipping and then hiring back doesn't get you all the people that you had to start with. So, any further questions of Dr. Faraday? Senator Geisel.
Thank you. Ms. Faraday, are other states having difficulty retaining teachers?
Mr. Chairman? Senator Geisel, absolutely. As I talk with my colleagues across the country, we're against a backdrop of a national, not just teacher, but teacher most prominently, but educator shortage. We're struggling with superintendents, principals, and most prominently teachers. And when you talk with other states, they're seeing the same thing. And where that's particularly hard for Alaska is that we historically recruit many of our teachers from the lower 48, and where they used to come here, they're not coming, and so we're really struggling to recruit because they can get jobs almost anywhere in the lower 48 at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, sir. And of course, things have changed because of our retirement system that is much different than it once was. And in the 70s and 80s, people came here because it was a wonderful retirement system, and now they have a more portable system that they can take the money and leave the state pretty readily. Yes, if you'd comment on that.
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly the case. We're less competitive than we have been historically, and as well, less people are choosing to go into education. So our pool has shrunk across the country, and our attractiveness as a state has become less competitive.
And I guess my question, probably of folks in the field and in districts, is: does that reduce the quality of the teachers you have to hire? Are there fewer qualified folks that are available to us? Are we having to change our requirements? You don't need to answer that, but that's one that I do want to know more about. Yes, Senator Begich.
Dr. Parity, when you're talking about this competitiveness issue, have you analyzed where we are on a scale with other states in terms of our competitiveness? Have you or one of your associations done that?
Mr.
For teacher recruitment specifically.
Senator Begich, we have been working with the regional laboratory. It's called NREL, Northwest Regional Laboratory, and to do exactly that. We are working in concert with the University of Alaska with their new efforts to be more coordinated through one college of education and then ultimately produce more teachers. As the president I know has shared with you before, we're working with the Department of Education and trying to really understand what those numbers are, because, and I'll just illustrate quickly by example, the Alaska teacher placement is where school districts register for their vacant positions to recruit, but it's reliant upon school districts to keep it current. And so if you just look at the numbers that they put forth, they lag and aren't accurate. The Department of Education also accounts for certified teachers, for example. So we've got a bunch of different numbers. So we're trying to get our arms exactly around our own numbers so that we can all be exactly on the same page in terms of what our shortage is, as well as then look at it against the rest of the country. So we are in the process of that. I also have spoken with Chairman Drummond and was hoping to speak with Chairman Stevens today to present some of those to you in a joint session during this session. So I'll follow up on that.
Thank you. And, of course, we're glad to do that. Representative Drummond and I have met a few times, and I think one of the best solutions for us is to meet in a joint session. This is a statewide issue and involves both houses. Yes, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So some of your questions have brought forward other questions in my mind. So, Ms. Parody, I think we've talked before about the fact that I have worked in very rural Alaska schools that require a small plane to get to, and you hope you get out again and not weathered in. And in that experience, I would often encounter very young, new teachers in the fall, bright, shiny faces, eager to start the school year, and when I would come back a few months later, they would be gone. The cultural shock was so much, the environment, just the light itself, far above the Arctic Circle, such a factor. So while our retirement system may have changed, these elements haven't changed. Are you seeing that we are attempting to hire so many brand new, just polished out of school teachers that aren't fully ready yet to be on their own in a challenging environment?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Giesel, I think you perfectly describe some of the very difficult challenges that our districts face. And to be quite candid, we're in such a shortage today that our school districts are struggling to hire, period. And so the majority of them have gone through the year without being fully staffed. In many cases, we're seeing they're trying to balance paraprofessionals and substitutes and, you know, really trying to cover those courses. So I think your perspective is absolutely valid in terms of maybe we need to be looking at more seasoned or experienced teachers, but currently our pool is so short or so small that we're struggling to staff. And I'll illustrate, again, by a brief example. Recently, I've been working with the Department of Education and, again, the university on special education teachers. Before Christmas, we did, I think, what was a pretty accurate look at the school district vacancies for special education. And we were down almost 100 teachers across the state. Special education is very difficult to fill, period. It's a high-needs area, and particularly in areas such as you described. So I think we're in a situation where that historically has had to be addressed. You know, like, who do we hire? Right now we're saying, you know, what teacher can we hire that has the qualifications to do the job?
Thank you.
Very good point. Thank you. Well, clearly this bill is just the tip of the iceberg, and it exposes enormous problems that we face throughout the state in education, K-12. One element of this is the University of Alaska, and we've encouraged the university to do what they can to produce more teachers. It's a great job. It's a great career, and we don't seem to have a lot of Alaskans who go through the University of Alaska and become teachers. I know we'll be planning on having probably a joint session with the House House Education Committee with the University of Alaska to hear from the president how that program is going. It's really crucial that we beef that up as much as possible. Any further questions, Dr. Parody?
Maybe just an observation.
Senator?
Yes, in the Moore lawsuit, there was an effort made at teacher retention. That was one of the categories that was understood. And in that lawsuit, in the teacher retention grants that were presented, which are now in the process of finalization of their evaluation, it showed that there was actually an increase in teacher retention as a result of some of those efforts. And it would be interesting, I think, if the committee would entertain perhaps a presentation from the department on those teacher retention grants and what worked, because clearly something worked, and it worked at a level of at least 10%. At least that's what I understood the preliminary numbers to be. So I hope, Senator Stevens, Chairman, Mr. Chairman, that we could have that as part of a presentation down the road here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Senator Begich, and ask the department to put that on their radar, and we'd ask you to make a report to us on that issue. Thank you very much, Dr.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. Let's go on to Dave Jones. He's the Assistant Superintendent at the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Dave, are you with us? And Dave, before you speak, let me once again mention that Senator Hughes is with us. And Senator Hughes, if you have any comments or questions or concerns, just let me know, and we'll put you on the air. So let's go on to Mr. Jones, Dave Jones.
Yes, good morning, Senator Stevens and members of the committee. My name is Dave Jones. I'm the Assistant Superintendent for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 131 this morning. I'll be testifying in favor of Senate Bill 131. Districts need funding certainty to be able to move forward with staffing decisions and contract commitments. The sooner that certainty comes, the better. This bill would allow districts to retain current quality staff and to pursue or attract new teachers at a time when the quality of the pool of candidates is high. As Dr. Parity mentioned earlier, ACSA, part of our joint position statements, we talk about the need for timely, reliable, and predictable revenue for schools. This bill would provide that. One of the things that I don't see in the bill that I would ask you to consider is there's no consequence for missing the deadline, and we'd like to perhaps see an incentive that if the deadline was missed, that we could at least move forward with flat funding. Some people would like to see it increased. I would just like to be able to see something in there that says if we pass that deadline, we can move forward and start making those decisions. I think Mr. Wooten and Dr. Parity said the rest of the things that I have here, so I'll shorten my testimony and be available for questions. But again, thank you, and I think this is a good bill. I'd like to see this move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. So as a person in the field there at your school district who deals with this all the time, could you talk about the issue of the job fairs and the number of applicants you're seeing and the impact that pink slipping may have on your hires?
Yeah, I think when you look at as I look at it, there's two things that delay causes problems for us. With our non-tenured staff and our current staff, we need to make those decisions and move forward if we're going to be able to retain them. If we don't have a funding, then we may not be able to offer them contracts, and that's where the term pink slipping comes. And so we have current quality teachers in the district that we'd like to retain. If we don't have the ability to do that, a lot of those teachers are families with young children who can't feed those children on a promise of we're pretty sure we're going to get the funding, and when we do, we'll give you a contract. And so by the time that we've come around to where our funding situation is, where we can issue contracts to them, they've already taken, because of the need to feed, you know, to have a job and feed and take care of their family, they've moved on to another district. And so that's if we're able to keep the quality teachers that we have, it's a lot better. This bill would help with that. And then when we go to attract, we have retirements, turnover, and we go to attract new teachers, the quality of the candidate pool out there in April is so much higher than the quality of the pool in July or August. There's still good quality teachers out there that we find in July, but the number that are available to us at that point in time has dwindled severely because they are being hired by other districts, and a lot of time, I think last year was a good example, the districts they were hired by were outside of the state of Alaska.
Thank you very much, Dave. Questions of Mr. Jones?
Senator Stevens, this is Shelley. Can you hear me?
Yes, Senator Hughes, we hear you loud and clear. Any questions you may have?
Yes, and I do want to say for the first 15 minutes I was on the call, I couldn't hear very well, and please excuse my throat. I had some kind of, Senator Giesel could say what I had down my throat during surgery yesterday, but it's making difficult for me to speak.
We understand. We understand. Thank you, Senator, for being with us.
Okay. I have a question, and I'm not sure if this is for the present testifier or for in general, but this, and like I said, you already may have discussed this the first 15 minutes, so cut me off, and I apologize if that's the case. But I know that this has been an issue for a number of years, for a long time, because I was briefly an aide in district for Senator Gatto, and it was something he was talking about with probably like 2002, 2003. So it's been around a long time. And I think Senator Giesel hit the nail on the head as far as when this gets over to the Finance Committee, that's when we're going to kind of see if this would even work. Because as we all know, education funding is a huge part of the overall budget. So when you pinpoint that early, when you haven't worked out the rest, there may be concern. And so I have a question as an alternative. If you got, like, we'd have to work ahead to make this happen, but what if you're always working with the previous year's funding, and so you could do in February, March, you could do what you needed to do. So basically getting ahead a little bit on the funding so that you have, some to work with until the legislature would pass. But in other words, the district moving their deadlines earlier. The other alternative, of course, would be switching the whole legislature up and the legislature meeting in the fall. That would also work. So just wondering, I don't think that's going to happen, that we switch to the fall. But do the districts, would, if they receive some kind of supplemental funding to carry them through, could you move your deadline so it has nothing to do with the current budget being debated in the legislature?
Thank you, Senator Hughes. There are lots of solutions to this problem. This is one of them, and I've talked to our finance folks on the committee about this issue, and as I say, there's many ways we can approach this. Mr. Jones, do you have any comments on the question that Senator Hughes posted?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think, like you said, there are a lot of alternatives to solve this problem, and one of those problems could be that when you look at our current funding, school districts are funded, our fiscal year starts in July and ends in June. We find out currently what our true funding is when the 20-day count in October ends. And so our revenue source for our expenditures that we start in July isn't really solidified until October. If you moved the revenue that is supplying for our expenditures and base it on the previous year, and we would know that in March and April, that if it was based upon our enrollment in the previous year, and remove the October count, then we would be able to move forward in the spring and do the hirings. I think one of the systems, and I know Senator Stevens, I think I've talked with you about this before, 21 years ago now, before I came to Alaska, I was in Wyoming, and that's what Wyoming does, is they base the revenue for the coming fiscal year upon your actual enrollment for the current year. And what they allow is, if you have a decrease in students, you're not penalized for that. But if you have an increase of more than 10%, you're allowed to recalculate and receive additional revenue in that fiscal year. So there can be adjustments made to the foundation program and when the count is done.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. So, just a hypothetical question here, and I'm not even sure this is even possible, but we have we budget for the foundation formula. The formula includes more than just the teachers, employment of teachers. It includes transportation, for example. Can we? Would it be possible to divide that foundation formula up in a bit so that at least you would know about the teacher element? Does that make any sense, or is that even something that would ever fly?
Senator Stevens, I think that would be difficult, because when we look at the different portions of the foundation program, we get some additional funding for special education, but it doesn't give us enough certainty that says, okay, this part is for regular ed teachers and this part is for special ed teachers. It's kind of, the whole foundation program would be difficult to for districts to say, okay, these are the funds that are going to be for this, and you know, we'll wait to see what happens with the special education funding or other things. So,
well, thank you, Dave. I understand that it would be very difficult, if not impossible, to do that. But we might.
Senator,
we
could consider. I had a follow up.
Yes, Senator Hughes.
My first, if that's okay.
Yes, yeah, please go ahead.
If I understand correctly, another alternative would be for the district to change, perhaps even their fiscal year, go January 1 to December 30th, and be working on the last year's, although we'd have to do some kind of catch-up and give you extra to do. I'm just trying to throw it out there because I don't know, you know, how the finance members will consider, you know, doing that piece early when it's a major part of the budget and always, you know, a big debate. So moving it off the table would seem like it would help us get the budget passed on it in a more timely fashion because it's usually a point of contention. But so I'm just wondering, districts could choose to change your fiscal years, for example, March 1 to December 30th or March 1st to February 28th when there's not a leap year or something like that. That is a possible solution.
Thank you, Senator Hughes.
Senator Hughes, through the chair. I believe that statute sets our fiscal year for us, so we'd need to have that addressed by the legislature. But I'm not sure that it would still solve the problem for us if we're starting a fiscal year in January when the legislature hasn't made a decision yet for that year or the coming year.
Well, no, a follow-up, Senator Stevens.
Please, go ahead.
Yes, I would mean come January 1st, you would already have your appropriation. You wouldn't be waiting for the, say it happened January 1 in 2018, you would not be waiting for the budget to pass in this legislative year. It would be the previous years, what I'm thinking. It would take some transition to do that, I understand. But I was just wondering if that might be possible if finance members feel like it's going to be too difficult to move this very large amount of funding out of the budget discussion.
Absolutely, so, Senator Hughes. I think
like that it could be possible. It would be somewhat of a hurdle, challenging too, for the districts to do that. But it would just as it would be a challenge and difficult for the finance members to pull that chunk out early. So I'm just wanting to understand if there is an alternative because I'm aware of how difficult it is each spring and how distracting it is in the district. And I've always been concerned that it could impact the student learning, which to me is the most important thing. So trying to figure out a solution that would help our students is the bottom line.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Everything is on the table, and we will discuss all of those issues. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, those of us in the legislature know that the end game, everything is being discussed. Education is a major part of it, and it's a part of the negotiations between the House and the Senate. And so it's a very important issue. It's not easy to solve. So thank you very much. Again, we have to end a few minutes early, maybe about 10 till 9. We have folks we're not going to be able to get to, and I thank you very much for being with us, Jack Walsh, longtime friend, the superintendent of the Craig Schools, and we'll try and get to you at a further meeting. Amy Lujan from the Alaska Association of School Business Officials, and also Chris Retan from Galena City School District. I'm sorry we're not going to be able to get to today, but I would like to call Mark Miller forward from Juneau School District. Mark, thank you for being with us.
For the record, Dr. Mark Miller, superintendent here in Juneau, thank you all for your service and welcome back.
No, we've got time, though, so if you have any comments, we'd be glad to put them
sure.
on the record, Mark.
Last week, I spent 3.5 hours with Commissioner Johnson and 10 of my colleagues talking about the Alaska Education Challenge. And of the three major points, calls them commitments, core values. One is student achievement, and two is students are in a environment where they're safe and they're supported. You can't do that if you don't have consistent staff. You can't. And this bill, in my opinion, is a great first step to keeping our staff consistent and in the game. Last year, with all due respect to the first person who testified, we were talking in the end game about whether we were going to get a 10 or 15% increase to the BSA. I don't think we'd need to be having this discussion, but we're not. One of the pieces that I don't think has been brought up is we can't send pink slips. And I think that term, I could be wrong, because I got one when I was a first-year teacher, comes from, and this shows you how old I am. Remember the old NCR forms? They were, you'd write on them, and they had three layers. And the top one was white, and that went into your personnel file. And the second one was yellow, and that went to the site. And the third one was pink, and that got folded up and put in an envelope and sent to you. One of my friends, who was a second-year teacher, got that, and this is how bad the times were, got that and his nomination for Teacher of the Year in the same envelope. So that's how rough it can be.
And what is NCR is what?
Believe it or not, National Cash Register was the company who actually, it was the first way you could do forms without having to do the old carbon paper in between, so it was carbonless. So HR trivia for those of you who...
We love trivia around here.
We can't lay off, and this is another piece of the puzzle, we can't lay off tenured teachers unless certain criteria are met. And one of those criteria is a 3% reduction in your budget. Well, if we don't know what our budget is by May 15th, we can't lay off tenured teachers because we haven't hit that, unless you hit one of the other thresholds. Last year, I had to make probably one of the most difficult decisions of my educational career in May. The both sides of the aisle were talking about the possibility of a 5% cut to the BSA. And I had to decide whether I was going to pink slip every one of my non-tenured teachers before the end of school. And I said, no, I believe strongly that even though we're in tough financial circumstances, this body is going to do the right thing and will at least fund us at the level that they did last year, even though we're losing about 2% a year to increase costs. So over the last 5 years, we've lost about 10% of our spending ability. But I said, no, I believe this body is going to do the right thing. I'm not going to notice any of my first or second year teachers who are my lowest paid, my most vulnerable, the ones who need to have that job, and the ones who will take any job they can get if they don't think this one is secure. So I said, no, we're not doing that. I gambled, honestly, and I gambled correctly. If I had been wrong, our end fund balance in Juneau this year, the amount of money we have left that we could write a check for at the end of the year, is looking like it's going to be something around $400,000. That's what it costs us to run our district for one day. We have one school day worth the money between us being solvent and us not being able to write checks to cover our debts. We've spent our end fund balance down as our costs have gone up and our funding has been flat. We don't need to unnecessarily tell teachers they might not come back. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to us, and it's not fair to the kids. I think this bill is a great first step. It does not fix everything, as we know, but I believe in progressive legislation where you eat the elephant one bite at a time. This seems like a great first bite. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Miller. I know you have a very busy day, a lot of students and teachers out there. I appreciate your spending the time with us. So we have an April 1st date in here. There's been some question about, is that the right date? Do you have any reflection on what would be the right date for? Is April 1 right, or should it be different than that?
Through the chair, at the risk of being punny, April Fool's Day is probably...
it's an unfortunate choice, isn't it?
Is probably as good. The earlier, the better for schools. The key for us is to know by the 1st of May, at the very, very latest, what our final budget is, so that if we need to move on tenured teachers, we still have enough breathing room to pull that off. That's really the key for us. And then, obviously, the end of school, so that we don't have to send out a bunch of letters to teachers saying, not sure you can come back, hope you'll hang around, and we'll let you know in the middle of July.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Dr. Miller. Questions? Yes, Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Miller, if you could update me, I didn't totally follow this subject as closely as perhaps I should. Juneau built a second high school, and I thought I heard something about student enrollment being down and consolidation. Could you update me on what's happening with the two high schools?
Through the chair. We just got done with a consultant, because that's what you do when you have questions, is you bring in a consultant whose conclusion was consolidating both high schools doesn't make sense for a number of different reasons. And I don't know if we need to get into the specifics of our district at the state level, but basically closing our brand new high school doesn't have the capacity to hold all the students, and trying to shove all of our students into a high school that was built in the 50s downtown away from where 70% of them live just doesn't make, from a practical perspective, much sense, and it doesn't save any money. And they did suggest that perhaps if we restructured our entire district in the way we group our grades, that maybe we could close down one of our older facilities. The cost savings there is minimal, because your transportation costs go up. So as with all problems, trying to solve one often creates another, which through the chair, I'm sure, is your job in a nutshell.
Thank you, Dr. Miller. So I'm sure we'll have other questions of you, and I know you'd be available in the future if we can sort of hold up on those questions. And, again, thank you very
much. Senator Stevens, thank you for your time.
Again, I apologize to Jack Walsh, Amy Lujan, and Chris Rethan, and we hope that you will be available in the future. We're going to have another meeting here on the Friday, January 9th. No, I'm sorry. Are we meeting then or not? Is that, that's not canceled then, is it?
Friday
we are meeting, right?
That's your Friday.
Okay, let's plan on meeting Friday, January 19th, and we'll attempt to continue talking about this issue. With no further business before us, we are adjourned at 10 minutes to 9.